I have it.
That boy like Madea. Let go, Madea.
Tonga by Lord. Blocked by Armstead. Two into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown! Caught for the touchdown! Waddle! Miami has taken the lead!
Dak, what the f***?
Welcome to your absolute favorite Miami Dolphins podcast, Day One Dolphins. It is your three favorite degenerates back again with another Day One Dolphins podcast. Once again, hosted by your boy Ouch. Follow me on Twitter at YFinsYY. Here with me today, my lifelong fellow Miami Dolphins fan, Chief Sutt. Please throw him a follow on Twitter at Chief Sutt, a.k.a. Coach Sutt. Not here with us today, still newly added member, consistent contributor, Mr. Zach Ware. Follow him on Twitter at ZWare1. Follow our podcast Twitter at Day1Dolphins to stay up to date. Let's get down to it. What's going on, Sutt?
Not too much, man. We got some fire notes. We honestly had a pretty long pre-show just now going over your notes, my notes, Mr. Ware's notes. We got some guys that we brought in casually. I know a lot of Dolphins fans probably aren't excited right now because there's not a lot of flashy splash plays happening right now, but we pieced together some nice little fill-ins, I guess you could call it, for the losses that we had. Still have some concerns, but I'm excited, bro.
It seemed like a free agency. Well, first of all, let me say, sad that Zach's not here for this one. We have a bunch of notes from Zach, Mr. Ware, here that we're going to go over. So even though he's not on the show today, he is more than here in spirit, right?
He basically produced it.
Yeah. But if you look at the episode that we did on free agency once, where Zach was here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, did he hit the nail on the head for a lot of stuff.
Like for other teams, for trades, for timings, for deals, for cuts. Like
he said, he should have played the lottery. He should have bought the lotto numbers, Powerball numbers, for sure.
If the people want it, we could almost do a review episode of that and track his score.
Yeah, I mean, he would have done well, and he would have built a good team had it all been available to him. Obviously, easier said than done if you're the one that's not in talks with players and dishing out money to him, but still, nonetheless, there was a huge, huge roster of free agents this offseason, and he nailed a lot of it. So,
impressive.
Happy to get him. He'll be here for the draft episode, as he is going to be the draft expert. He's nerding out on all of that, and he'll be able to fill everybody in on needs and wants and who he expects. Hopefully he goes 2 for 2 on hitting those nails on the head too, right?
Nerding out is like an underestimation. I don't even know what term you would call it, but this dude has been deep diving since like pre-combine, Senior Bowl, anything that he can get his hands on, he's in it. And he just drops random facts at all times during the week. He just goes on these rants about some random recruit that Greer was looking at. Like, I love it. It fires me up every single time we get a new tidbit from him.
Once there was 43 players on the Dolphins injured list and we knew we were playing Kansas City in the freezing snow, negative whatever degrees, he started churning out draft reports.
Yeah. He's on to the next chapter, dude. The season's cooked. It's not happening.
But I got a list here of all of our free agent signings, moves. You said, you know, it's been, you said it was a little underwhelming or not that exciting, but I want to say that it kind of, I want to play devil's advocate per usual and say that it to me it is, but it seems like it's kind of an exciting offseason for people who kind of know, you know what I mean?
It's like, sneaky.
Yeah, it's sneaky. Like, if you know ball, like, this is some exciting stuff.
And that's what I'm saying.
And we just lost
a lot of big name excitement. So people don't know the Kendall Fullers and the Jordan Brooks. They know Jonnu because of fantasy, but those aren't like game changers in their opinions. But
exactly. And it's the fantasy stuff almost that matters more, you know, to your average listener or your casual NFL player. You know, they're worried about as we start this episode, like, you know, right before we hit record, Stephon Diggs traded to the Houston Texans. That's obviously going to get everybody's attention.
Yep. Jordan Brooks got our attention, but again, if you're a casual, you weren't that excited about this, but we're here to inform you. This was a fantastic class, fantastic offseason. We didn't get a Tyreek, but we have guys that can make an impact to the same extent that Tyreek has on the other side of the ball, in my opinion.
So I'm going to run down this list. Yep. You give me a grade, all right? A to F. No minuses, no pluses. Just round up or down, all right? A to F.
All right.
We're going to go on through this list. All right. We signed Jack Driscoll, offensive guard.
I'm going to give that a C. I think Mr. Ware would give that a D. Or he'd give it a B for some other crack.
I was going to say, hopefully he gives it a B. I'm going to give it a B. And I do so because I go into it knowing that it's a depth piece.
Right.
And I appreciate the quality of depth considering what we've had to deal with these last few seasons. This isn't, you know, a guy that we threw onto the team 3 weeks ago and hasn't been signed by any team. Nobody wants him. There's been so many offensive linemen that have come in third string and play guard, play tackle. I like this as a depth piece. This is like an appropriate depth piece to me. So
a true
that's
bet.
Where I stand on it.
That's fair.
Saron Neal. I hope I said it right.
Yeah.
Cornerback. Came from the Bills.
He's not really a corner. He's just going to be a dedicated special teamer. I mean, you're taking somebody from the division, knows their rooms. I'd give it a B.
Yep.
He's not doing much.
Yeah, another good solid depth piece. God willing, we don't have to see any of our dedicated special team corners play actual snaps, which, you know, in the past we have gotten to that point. But
yeah,
he does look like a gunner, right? He looks good on special teams like that. Like,
yeah,
he looks like a great addition to a sorry ass special teams unit, in my opinion, last year.
I saw some film where they had to put three guys out there to try to slow him up. And just the fact that you have to scheme against him at all shows that he can make an impact in a game. So with these new kickoff rules and all these shifts in special teams and how much we struggled with special teams last year, definitely a B. Something I say Mr. Ware would give that B to A range.
Yeah. I mean, he's 29 years old, got him on a 1 year deal. I like the signing. I don't think there's really anything wrong. You could do it. He ranks 12th in special teams tackles, and he leads the league in special teams forced fumbles.
That's what I'm looking for, turnovers.
So, exactly. So, got to be an improvement for, like I said, Danny Crossman's going to be looking for somebody to help out with that one. Moving down the list.
Danny Crossman.
Hey, you know, they didn't fire him. We got to have faith in the reason why. He didn't have much out there. We got to say, personnel-wise, he didn't have much.
Sure.
Robert Jones was brought back.
Love Bob Jones. I'll give that a B as well.
Okay, B. I'm going to give it an A.
Give it an A.
Round it up around. Nah, I'm going to give it a B. It would be a B-plus if we were around it, but I'm going to give it a B. All right.
Ware's giving that an A. Ware's giving that an A. He's a big Bob Jones guy.
Yeah, I know. I could hear him in my headphones right now screaming, Bob Jones.
Oh, man. You got to love this guy. Professional guard.
Bring back him. Another one-year deal.
Had to.
He's been good for us, like, definitely, like, and the injuries have been going through, like, a rotational guy. He's definitely filled in a couple games as a starter. It says he started 13 games since 2021. He's also flexible. We've been able to use him outside and in the guard position if we had to. Just all around, I don't see the downside. You know what
nope.
I mean? Another not splashy signing, but I do not. It's really hard to find decent starting offensive lineman in this league, and he's not even projected to be a starter, right?
With no draft capital. We didn't draft him in the second or the third round or anything like that.
Yeah.
He's just a dude. I want to say he was one of those undrafted free agents we just signed when we were picking up a bunch of randos trying to figure out what we were doing, you know?
And then if we don't, you know, we didn't bring back Robert Hunt, so I don't know. We'll see how it plays out in camp, but I don't know that he's going to be a starter, but he potentially could be a starter. So moving on, Jody Forston.
We can't round down. I'll just give it an F.
So why do you give it an F?
The way you explained it to me earlier, kid not only doesn't play, but hasn't played very much and has barely done anything in the time that he has played. So I don't really see us as a team that wants a lot of projects right now. I'd rather us not be trying to piece things together. I'd rather us just have developed pieces unless we're drafting them. But they know more than me. Maybe they see something that I don't, but I don't know.
All right, well, he has won more Super Bowl rings than I think anyone else on our team. So we get him on a one-year deal, right?
Robert Ori has seven championships, dog. That's such a...
Who?
Robert Ori, the guy for the Spurs that got seven rings.
Is he on the Dolphins?
No, he's a basketball player. But that whole he's got rings thing, like, that's just such a weak... I don't care.
Oh,
he wrote on the
obviously.
Chiefs. I don't care.
Yeah, I know. It's a joke. It was a context-bending joke. But I'm just saying, he has more rings than Tyreek Hill. It's, you know,
I don't like that.
So Tyreek did tweet out that that was the signing that he was happy about. And he was like, I told y'all we had more to go.
He's a homie. All right, well, cool.
28 years old. He played behind Travis Kelce in that system. He's definitely an athletic guy. Pretty sure he tore his Achilles in 2021. Came back in 2022, 9 catches, 108 yards, 2 touchdowns, and played 13 games. And then he missed the entire next season last year, dislocating his shoulder in training camp. He's only played in 19 games since 2019, but I think that they have brought him in just to compete in training camp. The way they're building out our tight end room is just full of consistent types of players. We have now this guy. We have, which we'll talk on in a moment,
yep.
Jonnu Smith. Rattle off these other guys that are in the tight end room for me. Durham,
the
Smythe,
people's tight
yes,
end,
obviously.
Julian
which
Hill.
Which is probably Julian Hill. And there's one more. Julian Hill, what's the other guy?
The white dude that you don't like. Tanner Connor.
Yes, Tanner Connor. So everybody fits his
mold. I
like
Tanner Connor. I know he dropped that one, but I still see hope.
Well, to me, outside of Durham, who's kind of more like your traditional like safety valve style tight end, all of these guys have this like athletic upside, and they're going to throw them all into camp, and they're going to see which one of these project guys is going to come out and potentially be, you know,
a guy,
our stud, like who can really make some special stuff happen. And I like adding a guy like this. It's there's not a big downside to this either. He's going to compete for snaps. It's a pretty crowded room now, so we'll see what happens. Devil's advocate, this is a stat from Simon from 3 yards per carry. He decided to let us know that he has 70 total catches since 2015, 14 of which have come in the NFL, and he has 0 at a D1 school. Doesn't sound good when you put it like that.
I mean,
but
if he's just blocking, but... I got Durham for that, you know?
I think it's the opposite. I think he's got more of the special splash play ability than he does being a solid blocker. But he's been in the system in the Kansas City for a while. Like I said, he's 28 years old.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what Mike McDaniel knows that we don't.
A lot.
He's kicking the tires on him.
A lot.
So for that, I'll give it a D.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm glad I'm not giving all the friendly grades this time. I wanted to be like a tough teacher this time and, you know, give some Fs out.
Your expectations, you know what I mean, play into the grading. If I knew that he was second string behind Durham, you might not hear me be as happy about it.
Yeah.
All right. We re-signed Nick Needham, the homegrown homie.
You gotta,
block 40.
You got to love him. I mean, how much did we pay him?
Let me see. Nick Needham.
It says like 2.5 or something.
2 year deal. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but we signed him for 2 years.
Yeah, probably not much money. I'll give that an A.
I'll have it in 1 second. Nick Needham, 2 year deal. an A, huh? He's going to be competing with Cater for the slot role, I imagine.
They're both, even if the one doesn't start, the other one's going to be a depth guy. They'll be on special teams. They'll both play. Injuries happen. They'll have to jump in for a play here and there. I like the idea of having both of them on good contracts, obviously.
He's getting like $1 million a year, 1.1, 1.7 this year.
It was nothing crazy.
Yeah, that to me is an A, knowing what he's already been able to do. Obviously, he was coming back from that Achilles injury last year, which has probably played a lot into why Cater beat him out for the position.
Of course.
New coach as well, who didn't have the same value for him that, you know, maybe Brian Flores or, you know, anyone that was left over from that regime did. Vic had no idea what, aside from the little tape you might have seen on him, he didn't have that, like, value of the 2019 Nick Needham on the Tank team, fighting for his role, you know what I mean?
Fighting to win.
Yeah. I mean, he's played 61 games over the last five seasons, pretty much didn't play, like, almost two full seasons. We'll see what happens. He's fully healed. He's got to look more like himself at this point than he has in the last 2 years after that injury. So
for sure,
I'll give it an A. Very low risk. We know if you've been a fan, you've been watching, you know what he's capable of.
Mr. Ware's probably giving that an A too.
Yeah. Glock 40.
He's the man.
Enough said.
This is Needham Island. We respect
Needham
him.
Island. Neville Gallimore, defensive tackle. 1 year deal.
Okay. Due to the low risk of the contract, the positional need, we're not asking him to be Christian Wilkins. We're asking him to fill in a rotation and just do his part. Give us your snaps every game. In certain situations, you'll plug this gap. In certain situations, you'll plug this one. So new coach, new system that I'm not fully understanding, but I get where he's going with it. I'd give that, I don't want to be a nice guy, but I'd give that an A too.
I'm going to give it a B.
Okay.
Let's see. I mean, 1.7 million.
We didn't pay him anything.
1 year. We're obviously switching to a rotational system here with the defensive tackles because we lose Christian Wilkins. He doesn't have a lot of pass rush history. He only has 4 sacks in 4 seasons.
Not asking him to do that.
He's a solid run stopper. Definitely not Christian Wilkins, but it's unfair to compare him like that.
He's going to give us 20 to 25 snaps a game.
Yeah.
Cool.
At the end of the day, we're trying to rebuild a defensive line that's, you know, giving the coaching staff room to develop some players that may not have been as productive in their last systems. It's low cost, 1 year deal, no risk. Again, you're seeing a consistent level out of Chris Greer and the type of players that he's bringing in here. Low risk, high ceiling reward here. So I'll give it a B.
Yeah, he's a role player. He's going to free up.
Next guy in that room, our boy, we know the name, Benito Jones.
God.
Comes back.
I wish I could give an A+. Can we at least give A+s for some of them?
Go ahead. This is almost I could almost just edit out Neville's name and place in Benito if we didn't already know it and just repeat what I said.
Same here. But the thing is, Benito's been here before and we like him. We've seen him make a couple of little plays there, and you're like, oh, wow, Benito Jones. Let's get it. And he's coming back to bring the vibes back up. He's also going to play in the rotation, probably play the same 20 to 25 snaps. Not going to expect him to get any sacks. If he, you know, stuffs somebody on second and short, awesome, set something up. But all these guys are here to do is set other things up for the linebacker core. The whole key to these kind of defenses is your linebackers and your secondary being able to make plays and stop the run too. So,
And he just came back from Detroit where they had, I believe, the best run defense in the league last year. He's 6'1", 335. He's coming to fill in where Raekwon Davis has left, right?
Right.
More so than Christian Wilkins. So, again, low risk. I don't have the numbers. Let me just see real quick. Benito Jones. Did we even pay him anything? He might be here for free.
It was very, very, very. That was another one that was like under 2 million. We had like five or six of them that were under 2 million. I'm like, bro, these are like deals that I would make in my Madden franchises when I just re-sign my vets and like my backup guys and my special teamers. Like, these are
1.5.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like,
so less than Neville. Yeah. Just, you can't go wrong with all these. We built an entire room of a rotational run stoppers of big, thick boys.
You know, under $5 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Where, you know, Christian just got what? 120?
Oh, yeah. 28 a season, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on, we will move off the defensive tackles. Now we're starting to get into a little bit of, you know, some of the special stuff here, right? Braxton Berrios, we'll start with him. Re-sign Braxton. This has been all over Dolphins Twitter. It's a lot of criticism coming off of this one. What do you give this?
It's still hard to tell if it was more his fault with the lack of usage. He just couldn't get open. Or Tua, or I don't know what. But I was thoroughly disappointed with his performance last year. He did a really good job fair catching a lot of punts, but didn't really make any splash plays there. Like, as a Hurricanes fan, I was excited for him to come in. I can't give this anything higher than a C, and I kind of want to give it a D. I'd rather you just built another returner and maybe done, you know, Eric Uzakama some justice and let him try that out.
So I'm going to go ahead and disagree. You let me know if you have some notes from Zach here too on Braxton, but
he didn't even write anything about him.
I like this, and I like it for two reasons. It's a 1-year deal worth up to $3 million, right? Not $3 million.
Yeah, it's like
and
two.
I don't appreciate or agree with any of the criticism or unfair criticism with him as a kick returner. For me personally, because I thought, like, in a world where everyone just wants this to be Madden all the time, oh, you know, if he ain't Devin Hester, he's just not good. That's nonsense. He ranked 7th in the NFL last season in total return yards at 676, and he was our 5th leading receiver, which wasn't great because all of our yards went to like 2 targets.
5th leading receiver in the beginning of the season, 200 yards.
Yeah, 238.
Yeah.
But this was a deal to bring him back as a returner. That was like a no-brainer as a kick returner. He is a good kick returner, and he also didn't muff the punts, didn't muff the kicks. I found myself being scarred of watching it happen, you know, like I'm still
Jakeem Grant.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, he was a sure catch kind of guy. Like, he didn't, you know, I felt good having him back there. And in the I won't forget the two great games that he had in the Chargers game and the New England game, where, like, you know, there was crazy third down throws, like, and he was open a lot. He wasn't getting thrown the ball, but there's plays where he's the third guy and he is open. So I don't know that he's our star wide receiver 3, but as a guy who you have as your kick returner, who ranks top 10 in the NFL as a kick returner, and he has the option to be on the field as a wide receiver for a deal less than $3 million, up to $3 million, I'll take it. Eh. Expectations.
What's your grade?
I gave it a B for mostly as a kick returner and because he could be a solid receiver.
Yeah, Zach would probably lean to that side too, but I'm sticking with my C.
No, I understand. It's okay.
He's a TikTok star now. I'm not with it.
Yeah, his girl's a TikTok star. Whoa. But it was heartwarming to see how excited he was when he found out that he was staying in Miami. And for somebody to care about the team, that's a bonus for me, too.
Very cool.
Let's see. Take a sip of coffee.
And, yeah, Mr. Ware had no notes on that. All he said was, obviously, wide receiver 3 is a concern. We would like a guy that can put up 500 to 600 yards. That isn't Brax, but yeah, like you said, I don't think we're asking him to do that. He's going to be almost just a return specialist.
Could be him. I think there's a world where it could be, which makes the up to deal feel good because obviously his production as a wide receiver 3 is the incentive base for that, right? And then you know what he is as a kick returner. He's solid. So, like, that's where I stand on it. But, yeah, I don't – the expectations shouldn't be for him to be wide receiver three. But worst-case scenario, you know, injuries or whatever, I feel good that he's on – he's in the room as a depth piece.
Fair.
Anthony Walker Jr., linebacker coming from the Browns. Any opinions on that?
I mean, I had strong opinions from when we first signed him. I just – he was another player that I had my hopes up about coming out of college and was kind of following along through that. And the whole time he was with Cleveland, he just could not stay on the field no matter what. Had all the potential in the world and just can't stay healthy, continues to not be able to stay healthy. I mean, the upside is out of this world, but I'd rather just not even get my hopes up and think that this guy's going to do anything. He might compete with Duke Riley for the backup spot. Cool, but if he comes in, there's just no reason for me to believe he's going to stay healthy, but he's going to make the other guys work. He's going to push the room. The room has a little bit more talent in it. So, I mean, I can see more
another
people.
One-year deal.
I see other people can. I can see why someone else would give it a higher grade. I just don't want to give it a B or an A for value. And then he gets hurt three plays into the season. Like I know he will. Like,
I mean, one-year deal, 1.1 cap hit, or I guess 1.2 for the base salary.
Great value.
Again, just pennies on the dollar here, man. And the upside for this, you see it again. And this is more upside than the defensive tackle room. So expectations here, this is, yes, somebody that could replace Duke Riley. I think the upside for him is much better than Duke Riley. Plus, this dude's from Miami, you know what I'm saying? He is a good player, in my opinion. He just can't stay on the field. But I don't think it's fair to operate under the assumption that somebody's going to be injured every single year. He has started 79 games.
Oh, he went to Northwestern. Nice.
Yep. Like you said, he's been placed on injured reserve each of the last three seasons, making it to where he played like a little over half of the possible 51 games, 28 out of 51. If he's relied on, it says here on ESPN, if he's relied on as a rotational role, there isn't much risk, but his injury history must be considered if he has a larger role. Obviously, his injury history is a little bit worse than David Long Jr.'s and Jordan Brooks.
Right.
But let's say he has a good season where he doesn't get injured. There's a lot of potential there. And in the room with these guys, again, you're starting to see kind of a theme with the linebackers, a theme with the tight ends. They're starting to build these rooms out of the similar type of guys. This guy wants contact when he's healthy.
Right.
This guy's going to stop the run. This guy's a dog. You know, hope he can see the field. I'll give it a C because of the injury concern. But if we're not operating under the assumption of anyone's going to be hurt,
right,
much like, you know, we don't operate like that with Tua. You know, we didn't do that with David Long. You know, there's Jalen Phillips, like any of these guys we brought in. Then, you know, I kind of like it as a depth piece.
Now,
I give it a B.
There is a reality where he's just had a fluke of just bad luck. It's not that he's not taking care of his body. It's just that, you know, happens sometimes. And nope. That's what happened with Keenan Allen early on in his career. He got labeled as injury prone and can't stay on the field because he had a few just fluky injuries early. And that wasn't the case. So this could be another one of those cases. And we have a linebacker that can start for us, that can just fill in and take care of business right away. But we don't
really
know.
Best case scenario, we got a third guy who's starting caliber. He fits in with there, you know. And
for
it comes from the same.
Less than $2 million a year. And he's playing at home.
Exactly. And he's playing at home. And he's coming from the division where our new defensive coach Weaver just coached it. You know, so he must have an idea what the guy's capable of. Next, let's talk about our last, or no, not our last. We got two more. Let's say Isaiah Wynn, offensive guard, brought back. We re-signed him to a one-year deal. How do you feel about that?
I mean, we know who he is. Same thing we were just ranting about. I'm not going to rant about injuries anymore. We talked about it when he was coming in. We knew what was going to happen when he came in. He was going to play well when he played, and he wasn't going to play the whole time. But I think we paid him with that expectation. I think we have that expectation. As long as he's healthy, he's going to start. And just make sure we have somebody strong to back him up afterwards. So I don't want to give it an A because that's a cop-out. But I'll give it a strong B, a high on the higher end of B.
I agree. I agree for sure. 29 years old. Again, $1.1 million salary. I could just keep repeating it. This is a Chris Amazing. Greer masterclass like, of money allocation here. He's being brought back. He did win the left guard job in training camp and got injured in week 7. But he's also been able to switch, I think, right? We played him the right, left, depending on injuries last year.
And he played very well when he did play.
But the re-signing of him means we only need to replace 2 starters on our offensive line, which, you know, little by little, we're getting a little continuity.
2.5. You know he comes with an asterisk.
Yeah, all these guys do. It's just been, you know, I don't know if it's bad luck or, I mean, I feel like offensive linemen, that's like
it's tough.
A likely position to be injured on.
Yeah, it's called the trenches. They have the biggest, meanest people on the planet slamming into them every play and trying to push them back and pushing them into each other. It's tough. Yeah.
But he's started a lot of games, 40 starts in the last 5 seasons. So same idea here. Low risk, low financial implication, can move on from him with no penalty if you needed. Quality starter, great depth. So I'll give it a B as well. Our last offensive lineman, arguably the most splashy, Aaron Brewer, going to be offensive center or guard, but likely center. Get him from the Titans. There's been a lot of controversy around this guy as well. A lot of clips that support him as a good player and a lot of clips that support him as a risk and liability. What say you on him?
I mean, from what I've seen, you can make a hate clip on anybody. You can make a low light reel and just point out somebody struggling with something. But he played there for a very long time, and that's a system that just wants to pound the rock nonstop. But we had to play against them in a game that really mattered to us, and our pass rush wasn't blowing past this guy. So you ask me, clearly this guy is not that bad. I think for the price that we're paying him to play 2 different positions is solid, and all those PFF stats that people like to lean into when they feel like it and then say that don't count when they don't feel like it, they support the idea that he's extremely strong in the run. So with us having to replace Connor Williams like this, being able to just pay a guy essentially $7 million a season to just jump right in and do it, it takes away the need to draft someone like Jackson Powers Johnson or something like that. It just kind of gives us a little bit more draft freedom, gives us a little bit more free agency freedom with these post-June 1st cuts, with being able to pick up another lineman because we don't have to pick up a center. We can just lean into him at center. So I give this one an A.
Interesting. I am going to give it a C for a couple reasons. Not because I don't believe in him, but because you instantly sign him to a 3-year deal for one, right?
Good.
3-year deal is looking like, where are we at with him?
About 6.47 each year.
6.7 each year, even the first year.
In 2005 first year, and 25 in 2016.
Yeah. So you get him cheap this year. Caps low this year, but then you got like an $8 million cap hit for the next 2 years, right? And then some dead money carries into the 2027 as well. But couple things that I'm not saying he's bad. It's just you sign him to a 3-year deal immediately, right? It says he finished last season with a 13th best pass block win rate out of all 32 starting centers. Love that. So ideally, he'll take away at center right away. Although, on the flip side, he's allowed 21 sacks over his past 3 seasons, which is the most among qualified centers in that span.
We can work on that.
I'll say that every single lineman we've had underneath Butch Berry has improved.
Every single one.
I love that. Just the commitment right away to a player who seems like he has very high highs and very low lows is interesting to me. Obviously, he fits our scheme a little bit better than he does the Titans because we're so play action heavy, and he's fast and he's light for a center, clocking in at what, 270 pounds, you know?
Yeah. They asked Connor to move around like that when we were moving the pocket, and he looked like he liked pushing out like that. I think if this dude wants to move and want, we could almost disguise his flaws a little bit better in our system. And again, everyone gets better under Butch. They had Connor drafted or graded out on all of those websites as like the top center week over week. And it really didn't seem like he was doing anything that impressive, and he was muffing snaps. So if that's really what we're grading everything off of, I'm not that impressed, and I'm fully, fully, fully trusting Butch Berry. If he says, go get me this dude for 3 years, he knows what he's talking about. That's either him or McDaniel banging the table on that, because every other deal is a 1 year, 1.2, 1.5, but this dude got a small bag compared to everybody else.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So I think that it's market-friendly, and they just committed to it because of the price tag and have to place their faith in Butch and Mike McDaniel, which is just not something that I'm trying to do over and over again in the same room. And it's always the offensive line that we try to go bargain shopping, like always, outside of Teron Armstead, which, you know, we'll touch on his,
it worked with Connor,
his reword contract. Yeah, I mean, we tried to make him a center, and then, you know, we probably saw, what, two games lost because of his snap issues.
So, okay, but he was still grading out very well and playing well for the most part.
He was grading out really well, as you know, but because you forced him to play a position that he didn't play, you saw the, you know, the warts of doing that, and it cost you situationally. That's just something you have to live with, and it's a direct consequence of doing that.
And, you know, and now you have a guy that wants to play it, though, that it's naturally ready for it.
Is he naturally ready for it? I love the fact that we get him on a bargain deal, but he's played about 1,000 snaps, give or take, at center last year, right?
That's a lot.
He's played about 1,000 snaps at center, if you take away last year, in the past 7 years combined.
Rest at guard.
He's new to playing center as well. We basically get him at, like, year two Connor Williams kind of thing here, and hopefully, you know, that's indicative of why he allowed 21 sacks. You know, maybe he's new to it and Butch Berry can help him, and this scheme where he's going to be on the move is good for him being light. And I've seen a couple clips of him annihilating like Roquan Smith and a bunch of linebackers downfield, so get him on the move, and there's upside.
Which
it's just
the
3-year deal that worries me a little bit. But
I feel that. He's in my like
commitment,
but still worried category, because I still don't trust him fully all the way.
Why give him a C?
But we'll see. And again, that gave us just so much draft flexibility. Like, we weren't forced to have to draft the best center or like trade up to like figure something out. Or now we just have a guy that we can at least start after losing all the starters that we lost.
Should have never got rid of Michael Dieter, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
Moving on the list, that is our last lineman.
Good.
We will talk about, oh man, all we got is good stuff left, right?
Yep.
So
yeah, let's bang through these.
Let's do Jordan Brooks, linebacker. He comes in to replace Jerome Baker. What do you give that?
If these other grades are like A's and A pluses, this is like an automatic you pass the class. This is an S, like extremely satisfactory. This is just a tackling machine freak, literally 6 foot, went to Texas Tech, same brain as Zach Thomas, eating film, eating tackles, not going to miss tackles. It was like 4 or 5 years ago, we couldn't find linebackers that could just stop the run a little bit. And then we kind of started getting there with the Landon and Jerome and everything else, but this dude dropped 184 tackles in 21 and still dropped over 100 pretty much every season he's been in the league. He's just a machine. And that's what I've been looking for a while. he's a lot of people that are like more on the casual side don't follow the Seahawks like that, or follow their linebacking tradition, or even their secondary, or how Pete Carroll builds his defenses. But if you come from that system, you're a dog, bro. This dude is a dog. Like,
and the price tag, I mean,
deal.
3 year, $30 million
deal.
Going for what all these other linebackers are going for, that's insane. That's lower than what Jerome Baker wanted, and it's an upgrade from Jerome Baker. In my opinion, and I think it's pretty evident on the tape,
yeah,
he is an upgrade. All of Jerome Baker was solid, and I don't really care for all the slander that you see around Jerome Baker, because he was solid. But
right,
third and short, game on the line. PFF ranks the top three run defenders in third and short situations, right? Jordan Brooks comes in at number two in the NFL.
Fantastic.
Okay, and then who do you have at number three?
Come on, man. I'm not saying it. You can say it.
Hey, Landon Roberts comes in at number three. Just worth throwing out there. So I love the identity, again, of the way that they're building this linebacker room. Bangers, boy. These people want to hit you. Violent against the running backs.
The whole team is physical.
Yeah.
Aaron Brewer is a physical guy. Everyone we're talking about, they're just physical.
Yeah. This guy is scary versus the running backs. Like you said, he played running back in high school. Maybe that has something to do with it. He knows what it feels like to get smacked, so he's just abusing running backs. He has great run instincts. He's a great blitzer. We probably won't use him that often as a blitzer, but he has the ability to do it. He just came off a career high in sacks,
yep.
4.5 sacks last year. He has a lot of people, when we first signed him, talking about how he struggles in pass coverage, this and that, and there's an out-of-context stat line that says that he does struggle, but that's just untrue. You watch the film, he excels in pass coverage. He switches to man and is able to cover these like deep crossing routes. You watch him play against this play action stuff. He's a nightmare against a team like ours, against, like, you know, all this like Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniel play action. He's disciplined with his eyes. He takes the correct angles. He's great in zone coverage. He's just exactly what we want, in my opinion. Everything that you watch Jerome Baker struggle with, he excels at, and he also gives you that same physicality as like neck roll Jerome Baker without the neck roll.
He's just complete.
I couldn't be any more happy.
Yep, a complete linebacker, a true one. Everyone wanted Patrick Queen. That's okay. This dude's just as complete, if
cheaper.
Not better. Yeah,
for the price. So I'm very excited about him. To pair him up next to David Long, we got two absolutely heavyweight bout contenders in the middle linebacker role over here, off ball, whatever, whichever way you want to put them. Only concern is I don't know who's going to be like the green light, who's going to be like the voice here. Unsure about that. We'll have to see how that plays out after camp. But
probably Brooks.
Moving on, let's see here. We got... Let's go, Shaquille Barrett. Linebacker, pass rusher.
No, I know. I'm just thinking about how I want to phrase it, because he's not too many years removed from, one, a Super Bowl ring, so you're bringing in another guy that knows how to push for that. You're bringing
in Forrester.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, they really just know how to compete.
Forreston, sorry.
Yeah. But Shaq Barrett dropped, what, like 16.5 sacks when he was, before he even got to the Bucs, when he was on the Patriots. So he's
45 sacks in 5 seasons with Tampa.
He's a machine. He's a guy that's already been paid and he's already won. So if he's coming here, I don't want to say it's to chill. I want to say he's a guy that's going to try to produce more sacks, especially because we have no Chubb and no Phillips for... supposedly, let's just say the first quarter of the season. So he'll be able to not only produce right away, but then be able to fill out a third rotational spot for himself on a team that could actually compete deep in the playoffs. I mean, I don't want to give it an A, so a high B, similar to the other ones, just because I don't fully trust him. But if he's actually out here to like get after it, then he's going to be a huge asset for us.
I mean, just... as a depth piece, which is what he is, I got to give it a B as well. almost an A. Maybe last year he wasn't quite what he was in his first couple seasons with Tampa, but, you know, he went through a lot. I know he lost his daughter, one of his daughters.
It was like a pool accident, right? Something like that.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate.
That's tough.
Sad. It was a sad story, man, and I'm sure that it wasn't very easy to play dealing with that. Don't know how much that, you know, played into his productivity on the field, but at the end of the day, he's here to basically replace Andrew Van Ginkle, which will be missed for sure, but 45 sacks in 5 seasons, he's a vet. He's a depth piece just sheerly because Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips, we don't know where they're going to return. There is a rumor that Jalen Phillips will be ready week one, which would be insane.
Not believing it.
Me neither. But imagine you're missing one of the two of Bradley Chubb or Jalen Phillips, and the other side is Shaquille Barrett. I mean, I'm happy with it.
I'm cool with that.
He had the NFL's 33rd best pressure rate last season, which was a down season, at 10% of his pass rushes generating pressures, which is a hair less than Van Ginkle's 10.7. 1 year deal, low risk.
Can't beat it.
Plug him in. I'm sorry, I will miss you, Van Ginkle, but this is a great plug in to replace it.
Yeah, Flo just needed Van Ginkle.
Yeah, it's messed up, man. But two more on defense. Let's go with Kendall Fuller. Wait, before we move on to Kendall Fuller, do we got any notes from Zach on Shaq Barrett?
No.
Okay, well, let's start with Zach's notes on Kendall Fuller.
28 solo tackles, tied for first among all corners who played primarily on the perimeter, which early in X's career and prime X, tackling wasn't much of a problem. He liked to get physical and liked to get in there, but we've seen a little bit recently, the last couple seasons with X, the injuries, whatever it may be, he's made a few more business decisions. I think Fuller's going to jump right out on the outside, take over for him. The other guys will compete for that nickel slot. But I don't want to give it an A, but he plays man. He plays zone. He does everything that we're going to ask him to do. And he's going to...
He won a Super Bowl?
Like...
He's got a ring as well.
And it was another contract that we didn't get banged over the head, but we're going to get elite production out of. It's like not a team-friendly deal, but essentially a team-friendly deal, and he got a pretty decent bag compared to what everybody else got. So, I mean,
yeah,
high B, A? I'll give it an A because he's a plug-and-play starter. He's going to do whatever Weaver asked him to do. And I believe you said he played some safety too, right?
Yeah, he can play safety. I think he played safety that year. He won the Super Bowl in Kansas City, like both. He was like a hybrid role. So
yeah.
Don't know what Weaver plans on doing with that. Would be pretty cool because you know that Jalen Ramsey can also play a little safety.
Dude, it can get spooky out there real quick.
It can, yeah. Like with Javon Holland being able to come down into the box, with Jordan Poyer being able to come down to the box. We haven't gotten
Cam
Jordan Poyer
Smith.
Yet. Cam Smith on the outside. You know, there's a lot of stuff we can do here with these players. What grade do you give it? You said a B, A?
I give it an A.
Yeah, I have to give it an A. And I would imagine that Zach gives it an A, if not a B. We're going to have him on the opposite side of Jalen Ramsey. You know, Cam Smith should be able to compete for the opportunity, but pretty sure Fuller, you know, is expected to win that job. And then it feels great having Cam Smith be the backup guy on the outside. Says he has allowed 8 touchdowns last season as the nearest defender, which one of them is Tyreek, so when we played them last year, so we'll just exempt that from counting against him. But the whole defense was terrible. So it's not like we can just like blame, you know, Kendall Fuller. And he'll be the best guy named Fuller that's played for the Dolphins in years. So
yep. And so this was his favorite moves from Mr. Ware. Kendall Fuller, Aaron Brewer, and Jordan Brooks all feel capable of improving positions that were iffy at times last year due to injuries and age. So again, not only did they sign those guys to plug in and start, but they have semi-capable, low-risk backups for all of them. That's what Anthony Walker is for Brooks. He's just another guy that's low-risk, backed up. He's there too.
Yep. Nick, and then we got Nick him for Needham a 2-year deal.
Yeah, bro. We just have...
He's only getting... His cap hit is only 2.5 this year.
Starter plus depth at all the positions of need for the most part. And corner, yep. Corner was one that was definitely addressed, and so was linebacker. So the whole, yep, the whole squad has been pretty satisfied with that.
Last defensive addition, the big splash here, Jordan Poyer comes from the Buffalo Bills, which not only poses a addition to the Miami Dolphins, but we also weaken a divisional opponent as well by removing a star safety from their backfield. What do you say? Not backfield, sorry, secondary.
Defensive backfield. Deal. You can call
yeah,
it defensive. That.
Yeah, whatever. Well, you know what I meant. 1 year deal. So, like, again, not a huge commitment. So it feels like we're moving into this next year with its own window, but also not committed long term to any of these guys. But what do you grade this?
I love taking him away from Buffalo. I love doing that any chance I can get. But he also has definitely lost a step. And there were some other safeties out there that I kind of wanted a little bit more that I thought we would have had, I don't know, I guess a little bit more priority on. But it is a three safety scheme. It is a guy that's played at a very high level for a long time consistently and does stay on the field. I think I saw he hasn't missed a game in 7 consecutive seasons. So he's
boys with Tua. He golfs with him.
You know what I mean? So that's another high B, not just a mid B. I know we're not doing, but there's a spectrum. There's levels to it. He, what was it, 101.5 passer rating when targeted last year. That was the highest of his career. Could have been the team. Could have been he just lost a step and people saw that on tape and just started attacking him. But Mr. Ware says third safety is still one of his concerns. This game calls for three. Go get Quandre Diggs. I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice piece, but it's still not enough. We need a wee bit more.
I think we're definitely going to address safety as well, probably after June, maybe after they figure the Tua thing out. But I'm gonna give it a. I want to go B, but I'm gonna give it a high C. But I'm gonna go C here with Poyer. I guess B if you take into consideration what we're paying him. It's literally guaranteed is $1 million. He's 33 years old. He has lost a step. He still grades pretty well. He was a top safety. And then at the end of the day, he's not afraid of contact. And that's what we're looking for in this scheme, mm-hmm, is safeties that can come downhill and smack you. I think he's good for that. I think he's going to pair well with Javon Holland for that. And it's very cheap. Very, very cheap. He's capable.
God, I can't wait to see Jordan Poyer coming down, just filling and just crushing Josh Allen when he tries to scramble.
He plays through injuries too. Like you said, he doesn't, you know.
Yeah. We definitely have an emphasis on stopping the run and stopping mobile quarterbacks with the D-line just pressing gaps and letting these linebackers run free and just trace them down. I'm excited.
I mean, at the end of the day, who's he here to replace? Brandon Jones, right? And Brandon Jones got a bag.
Yeah.
So I will take Jordan Poyer for $1 million guarantee for the year to be probably better than Brandon Jones was, you know, for what Denver paid for him every single day of the week. And for that, we can lean B. Last one, right? Jonnu Smith. Another addition, another pass catcher, passing threat, finally a tight end who we can probably see get the ball in his hands and do something. What do you say about Mr. Jonnu Smith?
I love it so much. And I know most people just love the yak and all the yak numbers and yak over expected and all that. But he's also a very skillful blocker, which will just open up our offense to be able to do things that were impossible to do with Mike Kosicki, for example. We can disguise so many things with the ability to jump him out into the slot, line him up out wide by himself, have him in tight as a natural, like an actual tight end. Like, that's an A. That was a casual piece. It's going to I'm just so excited about that. And we didn't have to spend up. We didn't have to spend an early first round pick or trade up to get some Brock Bauer action or wherever he falls. Like, I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, I give it an A, absolutely. Did Zach write anything about it before I rattle off?
No, it's not in his concerns anymore.
Well, that's enough, huh? Yeah. He's not concerned about the tight end room. Like, we got a stacked tight end room for them to choose from.
Yep.
But this guy is obviously going to be number one now, which puts our boy Durham back at the best second tight end in the league instead of being one of the worst starters. Love that.
He's back at home where he belongs.
Yep. Solid, solid number two guy. But Jonnu Smith is coming from, let's say, the Patriots in 2021, 2 years there where you know he was required to just not do any catching and block. So you know that he's got that aspect of his game. Goes to Atlanta. Ends up getting more looks than first-round pick Kyle Pitts as a pass catcher, and then ultimately ends up as the number one yards after catch for all tight ends last year, which is exactly what Mike McDaniel wants, which is exactly why we moved on from Mike Gesicki. He's about the opposite of Mike Gesicki as a tight end could get in every single aspect. And although we are worried about wide receiver three in Miami, this gives us a legitimate third threat behind Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, right?
Yep. You're so, underneath safety blanket, if you will.
And I mean, he obviously gets the yards after catch. He's a threat in that aspect of the game. So, you know, maybe this kind of not shores up the need for wide receiver three, but should definitely ease your mind, you know, because I'm not going to say he's Travis Kelce, but
you can draw up screens in the same manner that you draw up for Kelce, like you did.
Exactly.
They were doing it from Atlanta all last year.
You can use a lot of wide receiver geared looks using Jonnu Smith as a tight end. And it also gives you a little bit more room to disguise what you're doing now that you have someone that can block, but is also a legitimate threat, right?
Yep. He will catch people slipping. That's the part that excites me the most. And if he gives us 400 yards this year, couple tutties, that's fantastic.
I say he's going to touch 600.
Oh, that's fire. But yeah.
300 of it yards after catch.
We got through pretty much all of Ware's notes. His only other concerns inside offensive line, while we have a bunch of guys outside of Brewer who can be counted on as a starting level player, which we touched on. Wide receiver three, we have a top duo in the league, but after that, it's rough. We desperately need a third capable of physicality and breaking the press. If we can get 400, 500 yards, that's a win this year.
Which, if Jonnu Smith fills that role, we wouldn't even be talking about it.
You know?
Put River Craycraft out there as the third. Jonnu Smith as a tight end. He starts getting a lot of those looks. We wouldn't even think about it.
Yep. Inside defensive line, hard to replace Wilkins, but we need another guy with ability. Doesn't have to be a top two round guy, but a top two round guy would be pretty cool. Or if we were able to like parlay our picks into an extra pick or two, like get into that second, third round and grab one of those. Edge depth, never going to have enough, and top two guys coming off season ending is questionable going into season, which we obviously touched on. Shaq Barrett's going to help out a little bit with that, but you can never have too many pass rushers at San Francisco. Like, they just keep him coming.
Yeah. I think he's right about third wide receiver, regardless of the tight end. It needs to be addressed just so there's a fake threat out there or whatever.
Something.
Yeah. In the draft, it's just lineman for me. And then in free agency, safety, a fourth edge rusher would be great. Maybe like a developmental running back in the late rounds. And then, you know, like we touched on before the show, I don't think getting a developmental quarterback late either would be bad. We were talking about Spencer Rattler. You know, we were talking about your boy from FSU, your favorite team ever.
Shut up. Now I'm ending the episode. I hope you guys had fun today. We got a lot of grades out. There's a lot of information and stats.
Tell them what you said, bro. Tell them what you said before.
This is why I don't ever give y'all anything. But all I said was Jordan Travis is not that bad, and he would be a nice little... He's going to make somebody happy taking him in the fourth, fifth round, maybe even sixth if he falls that far. Because once he gets healthy, he's a competitor. He's legit.
All right, you heard it. He's an FSU lover. He respects the school.
If there's one thing I do not love, it is Florida State University. It's all about the U. It always will be. I'm sorry, Brax. I just had higher expectations for you. Just return like 2 for a touchdown this year, and I'll shut up. But right.
And on that note, we'll be back next couple weeks here to talk to you about some pre-draft stuff, mainly starring Mr. Zach Ware. Follow Zach on Twitter at ZWare1. Please follow Sut on Twitter at Chief Sut. Follow me on Twitter at YFinsY. Follow the podcast Twitter at Day1Dolphins. And Sut.
It's for the win again.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami has a Dolphin, the greatest football team.